Hi, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. We're going to talk about another loss for the Grizzlies. This one, a particularly brutal beatdown. Where things stand in the tank race, what is being accomplished by what you're seeing, any bright spots of anything out there on the court. We'll talk about that as well. And a look ahead to tonight's matchup with the Charlotte Hornets. Again, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast through what is a really bleak stretch of games and a rough on-court product to end this regular season. Thank you for sticking with us here on the podcast and sticking with me and downloading it and telling friends about it and supporting the pod and supporting me. Thank you. I really appreciate that a lot because it has not obviously been easy for you guys to sit through that. And I know you're not just thrilled about hearing about it afterwards. There's not, I don't know that I can give you a tremendous amount to go on. For example, after what happened on Monday in Brooklyn and then what happened in Philly on Wednesday, I don't know that you can really, expound too much on that, but I'll try over the next few minutes here on Locked On Grizzlies. But thank you so much for being with us, and I think it will be vastly more fun once the season is actually over and we can start really getting into draft stuff and figuring out exactly how tanky this team is going to get and where they're going to go. Because let me tell you, right now, as you saw, the tank is rolling. They won the game on Saturday, which meant they're not going to finish the season with a 33-game losing streak. And as a result, the tank can really fully flow. We saw it on Monday with Tyreke Evans just not playing, and Marc Gasol saying staying in the hotel because of a quote-unquote illness. Marc played on Wednesday against the Sixers. Tyreke was rested because obviously you need to be rested after a debilitating DNP CD on Monday. That can really take it out of your bones and your muscles, and so Tyreke needed to rest tonight. Definitely a good rest night for him. The Grizzlies clearly are going to try to stagger as much as they can Tyreke and Marc so they don't play too much together and therefore accidentally win a game or two. Tonight against Charlotte, there will be no Marc Gasol on the court. Tyreke, though, will play. So again, you're staggering those minutes just a little bit. And, I think that makes sense. As we talked about, once they got the win, there's really no reason to even pretend anymore. They don't need to win any more games. They can get away with winning one more because of what's happened around the league, but that's it. And so you've got 11 games left. For the most part, you're going to lose most of them just on the merits. If you look at the actual opponents, at Charlotte, again, you would think, Charlotte's not a great team, but the Grizzlies have yet to beat the Eastern Conference team on the road. This is their last chance to do it. Let's hope they don't. Dwight Howard coming off of a 30-30 night last night. So there is that. Then the home game against the Lakers. Now that's tricky. The Lakers playing much better over the last month or so, but still, that's a game you certainly could mess up and win. Then at Minnesota, home to Portland, at Utah, no problem with any of those. That should be easy to lose those three. At Portland, no problem. Pelicans, probably not a problem there. Then you have the two home games against Sacramento and Detroit, your final two home games of the year. Those are the two red flag problem games that are out there. No question you could win both of those. So you got to avoid that. And then you finish up at Minnesota and OKC. Those should be easy enough losses. So you're really looking at like three games, I think, that you can circle as potential wins. And if you win all three, that takes you to 22 wins, which is potentially problematic. Otherwise, you feel pretty good. Certainly at 20, you feel great. So I think one more win would be fine, because that would at the very least guarantee that you would finish no better than the second worst record, which means the absolute worst case scenario would be fifth. If everything were to go wrong in the draft lottery, you would still be high enough that you should feel confident that you'd get a big-time talent. You obviously would rather be one or two, but five would not be the worst thing in the world. It's only if you slip down you know, into the 4-5 range where you could get down 7 or 8 in the worst case scenario in the lottery, that's where the problems would come. So knowing all this, the Grizzlies have accelerated the tankiness of this whole thing. It's the right thing to do, and they certainly did it. We'll talk about it here in just a few moments. A reminder that on Locked On NBA this week, you can hear from the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, who joined our own David Locke to talk about a number of different league-related issues. It's a tremendous sit-down, a real coup for our network. We appreciate that, and I would encourage you to check out Locked On NBA and the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network as we continue to do very, very big things. It's a very cool deal, so you're going to want to check that out. It's absolutely tremendous. Now, on the court, the Grizzlies lost, and the final score was not really indicative of what this game was all about. 119-105 is the final, but that is extremely deceptive because in the midst of a 41-point third quarter, the Sixers were up by 34, I think, at one point, were just absolutely dominant, running up and down, making everything. The Grizzlies clearly just gave up in this ball game, but it makes sense, and this is where I have to say, I don't really think much is getting done. I think the Grizzlies, to me, are spinning their wheels. That's why I hope this season ends. I mean, it can't end fast enough, because all of this discussion about tanking, all this discussion about what's happening with the team, there's all this talk of player development that people like to throw out there, like, oh, you're letting the young guys play. But I got to tell you, like, apart from playing hard, which most of these guys did Monday against the Nets and did not do Wednesday against the Sixers, I don't know what else you're really accomplishing. For example, Jarrell Martin is out there, and we've talked about it before, playing the three. Why? Other than to make sure you lose games, of course, but I mean, in terms of development, if you're trying to make the argument that there is some kind of development happening, with that, I would encourage you to check again, because it's not happening. That is not his position. That is not where he will play in the NBA. That is not where he will play for whether it's the Grizzlies or whatever else he does in his career. If it's in the NBA, he will not be a three. He's a four. He may well be a five in certain lineups, but he's definitely not a three. And yet there he is playing alongside JaMychal Green and Marc Gasol. There were times when Jarrell Martin was playing with JaMychal Green and Chandler Parsons out there. So you have Briante Weber, three power forwards, and Marc Gasol. Now, I mean, again, it is what it is. You're trying to lose the game, so whatever. But don't tell me that there is player development happening in a lineup like that. There's nothing. Briante Weber is a nice story. Guy who plays extremely hard. If he was a little bit bigger, he would definitely be an NBA player because of how hard he plays. And he's got good instincts. He's got a nose for the ball. He makes a lot of good plays, a lot of winning plays. There's a lot to like about his game. But again, he's just so undersized that it's ridiculous. I mean, the matchup between him and Ben Simmons was laughable. I compared it on Twitter to, you know, Mike Tyson's punch out when you see, you know, Little Mac out there against Bald Bull or whoever else you want to throw out there. Whatever opponent is like monstrous compared to your little dude. And that's what Briante Weber looked like against Ben Simmons. I mean, Ben Simmons is a giant and Briante Weber is tiny. And as good as Weber occasionally played, Simmons was so much better and dominated him physically. Same thing with Andrew Harrison. Whoever else they put out there didn't matter. I mean, he was so much better. The Sixers are so much better. Their process is working and has worked, and they look extremely good. And they're long. They're gifted. They have so many guys that can do so many different things. Such a balanced attack with all those guys, and no one really even had to break a sweat against the Grizzlies tonight. Sixers will be a playoff team, and a very interesting one at that over in the Eastern Conference. Meanwhile, the Grizzlies roster is a mess. I mean, we talked about Dylan Brooks. I think there's some positive things to take from Dylan Brooks over the last month or so. I don't know. Again, he's playing out of position. He's playing more of a two, which I don't think is going to be his role long-term in the league. Particularly on the defensive side, that's not a real bonus for him, but he's doing that. He's able to hit some shots, which is nice. His numbers have been pretty good, so that's good. And he's a bit of a volume scorer at times, so that's nice to see. Wayne Seldon has, you know, shown some signs that there may be something there for next year, as long as he can stay healthy. Again, that's always the question with him, and frankly with a lot of Grizzlies, is can you stay healthy? He's shown a few things. But I'm talking about player, you know, developing and all that stuff. I don't buy any of it. I don't even buy that it's really developing JB Bickerstaff as a coach. I mean, there's nothing there. Coaching wise, there's really nothing happening here. You know, he's getting the guys to play hard, which is good, but you know, from a strategic standpoint, or you know, running your stuff or any of that, I mean, there just isn't much opportunity. I think JB's doing fine, and I like JB, and you know, I think he would be a very logical choice to get the gig long term. But it's, you know, it's not as if you're seeing some masterful stuff. There's just nothing much that the Grizzlies can do. They are truly spinning their wheels. I mean, there is nothing happening. Marc Gasol's doing the best he can to kind of glean something from this. Chandler Parsons is obviously, you know, playing, but he would much rather be anywhere else, as evidenced by the fact that the Grizzlies, when he is on the floor in his 8 games that he's played in the midst of this Grizzlies streak towards the end of January, Grizzlies have a defensive rating with him on the floor of 130. Woo! 130, that's over 100 minutes of action, so at least a reasonable sample size given the limitations of what we're talking about. I mean, he has just been toxic defensively. Grizzlies' net rating with him on the floor is a minus 40 points per 100 possessions. Minus 40, even by Grizzly standards. That is shocking. So he's hitting some shots, but he doesn't care. And he's not interested in playing defense. And, I mean, I can't really blame him. It's not, why would you? This organization doesn't really want to win these games anyway. So this is not a great time for Chandler to try to prove anything to himself or anyone else. What's really the point of all of that? So, you know, that's what I mean. Like, it's just so many of these issues that crop up that just make it, like, just end the thing. Frankly, it's much more interesting to watch the college basketball. And for those of you that, you know, are watching, maybe you've already busted your bracket. That's okay. You can still cash in on March Madness at MyBookie. And if you haven't signed up yet, it's not too late. Remember, guys, it's not too late. Got action going on tonight, tomorrow night. It kicks right back up again, and you can get started. Doesn't matter if you've been a player for years, or if you like a team because their colors match your favorite shoes, or, you know, you just know what you're talking about. Any of those situations can be wonderful situations for you because you can lay down some money and score big on college hoops. Join me and thousands of online players and start betting at mybookie.ag. If you're sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout, come join MyBookie today. I would only recommend a service that's been good to me and our listeners, and it has been mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag. You win, they pay fast and without any hassles. You're wasting your time if you're betting anywhere else. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA, that's LOCKEDONNBA, to activate a fabulous offer. They will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. Again, use promo code LOCKEDONNBA. It is mybookie.ag. Visit today, play, win, and get paid with mybookie.ag. Well, as I mentioned, the Grizzlies will be in action tonight. And quite honestly, you know, they need to lose. They will probably try as much as they can to lose. The players are playing hard, but ultimately, to what end, I don't really know. I don't think there's a tremendous amount of development that is really happening, which means it's not especially even that interesting to look at from like, oh, this guy is developing this or that guy's doing this or whatever. Like you see from some teams, I don't really think there's much of that happening with the Grizzlies. You can even look at like a, you know, Phoenix where like Josh Jackson's doing some stuff and okay. That's a, you know, he's a high lottery guy, a guy they're really going to depend upon. So you want to look at his progress. I mean, who fits that bill for the Grizzlies? The guy that concerns me a little bit is Deontay Davis, who was better against the Sixers, finishes with his first career double-double at 16 and 11, but a lot of that came in extreme garbage time. We're talking like the garbagiest of all garbage times. Nonetheless, it was something. He played a lot more and in a lot more competitive situation on Monday and just did not play hard. And I get that, like, I get Deontay's demeanor is pretty low key. He's one of those guys that just, he appears to be always moving in slow motion. He's got just generally bad body language. He's not a bad guy, but he just has a bad body language, just looks bad out there. And it's not translating. It's not as if you're seeing like the screws start to turn and big things happen. He looks like he's playing slow because he is playing slow. And he's playing at half speed out there compared to his teammates. Like on Monday against the Nets, he just was playing so much slower and less effectively and not giving you much of anything. And this is a guy who, look, there's a lot of competition for these spots, and particularly in a draft where you have, the Grizzlies are drafting near the top. You've got Ayton, you've got Jaren Jackson, you've got Bagley, you've got Bamba, you've got Porter. All these guys would come in and would be in that spot and would be a high draft pick and would take precedent over Deontay Davis. You just don't see the effort. You don't see the interest level. At least, you know, Jarrell Morton's out there playing hard. I don't think he's playing well, and I think he's playing out of position, but he is generally playing hard. If you don't see the effort and the intensity from a guy who's playing for his job, I get that, you know, he's playing in a situation where the Grizzlies don't really care about winning the game. I get all that. And we talked about there's not really much player development going on, but I'm talking about individually, this is a guy who is playing for his job, you would think. It's a guy who's playing for his career, potentially, you would think. And the switch still hasn't been flipped. So when will it? When will it be flipped? Will it ever happen? I think if there's a question for the next 11 games or whatever is remaining for the Grizzlies, that's the one. You got to see something from him, because otherwise any big that they take is going to, in my mind, immediately jump in and just push him right down the pecking order. It's been 2 years now, and after 2 years, if you don't start to see something that's interesting, you don't start to see some development, some growth, something happening with Deontay Davis, then it's probably not going to happen, at least not in this setup with this group and in this situation, which means you're probably going to have to move on. I don't know. I hope that's not the case, but you have to consider it, because it is just not happening for the guy. Also, kudos to Ben McLemore. The Grizzlies continue to, really the best arbiter for you to tell when the Grizzlies are trying to win for real is if they don't play Ben McLemore. Because now the numbers continue to be overwhelming. When Ben McLemore plays, the Grizzlies are now 5-42 this year. 5-42. And when Ben McLemore does not play, the Grizzlies are 14-10. 7-6, by the way, taking out the games that Mike Conley played. So they still have a winning record at, what, 33 games below 500? They still have a winning record when Ben McLemore doesn't play. He is the human tank commander. He is the embodiment of that big old tank that comes rumbling right down the street If you want to lose, you play Ben McLemore. You want to win, you keep him as far away from the court as possible. And it continues to be the case. It is an incredible number. Kudos to him. He's doing, well, he's earning his money in a totally roundabout way, in a way that the Grizzlies never would have envisioned and certainly don't want to envision next year. But as for right now, he's earning that money. And if he can help them get the number one overall pick, then in a very weird and strange way, perhaps his massive oversigning will, in some small way, have been worth it. We'll talk later on this week. Thank you for listening to Locked On Grizzlies. As always, get in touch with me at Peter Edmiston on Twitter. I am at Peter Edmiston. You can also send me an email, pedmiston@gmail.com. That's pedmiston@gmail.com. Send that over. I would love to hear from you. Thank you for listening. Thanks for checking it out. Have yourself a great Thursday. You've been listening to Locked On Grizzlies.